WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present Pastor's Point of View with Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods is an author and the teaching pastor at Sugarland Bible Church in Houston, Texas. And now, here's your host and teacher, Dr. Andy Woods.
All right, y'all. Welcome to Pastor's Point of View, number 176. Today is August the 20th, 2021. My name is Dr. Andy Woods. I'm the pastor teacher here at Sugarland Bible Church. I'm back with my friend, colleague, fellow elder, associate pastor, Dr. Jim McGowan. And we haven't been on the air, so to speak, for the last 2 weeks. And it was just related to scheduling issues and being in town and out of town.
It wasn't the rapture.
No, it wasn't the rapture. And we were very missed. We appreciate the groundswell of what happened to you guys. Did you get kicked off the internet? Which could happen at some point, I guess. Did you get COVID? Did this happen? Did that happen? So we appreciate everybody being concerned and looking out for us. We normally don't like to miss a couple weeks in a row. We try to do this weekly, but this time around we had a 2 week gap, and so we're glad we were missed. What do you think about that?
It feels good.
Yeah. So here is our prophecy update. We're going to bring you a prophecy update today. You notice the six categories that we're going to look at, and obviously the very first issue we want to look at is this whole issue of Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
Because that is on everybody's mind. We have just watched, we've just witnessed, we've just observed probably one of the worst debacles in American history by the Biden administration in terms of the fact that now we've got somewhere between 10,000 to 40,000 Americans behind enemy lines.
Just when you think it can't get worse, right?
With the Taliban, you know, taking control of Afghanistan due to the Biden administration's very bizarre, strange pullout. I mean, I'm no military expert, but common sense would tell me that first you get the civilians out before you pull the military out.
Well, you have to have common sense.
So, for some reason, they didn't do that.
I don't understand
it.
I
don't understand it, but it
makes no sense.
It's been a debacle. So, can you remind us what's going on with that, Brother Jim? Here's an article from justthenews.com by John Solomon. August 15th, 2021, just to kind of bring us up to speed on this.
All right. As Afghanistan descends into chaos, the Taliban announced on Sunday that they soon will declare the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. The country went by that name under the previous Taliban regime. The group will announce the news from the presidential palace in Kabul, according to the Associated Press. With stunning speed, the Taliban broke through Kabul's defenses on Sunday and entered the capital city to complete its takeover of Afghanistan after a 20-year American-led occupancy, forcing the country's president to flee amid negotiations for a peaceful surrender. U.S. military scrambled to evacuate its embassy staff, and capital city residents drained their bank accounts and sought to flee via airliners as a stunned Biden administration presided over the collapse of a two-decade U.S.-led effort to root out extremists and terrorists from Afghanistan after the September 11, 2001 attacks on New York and Washington.
Yeah. So the issue is the Bush administration, subsequent to 9/11, went in there, and Trump made the decision to get us out of there, and Biden just pulled us out. It almost seems like with no planning whatsoever.
He was stunned.
Yeah. And here's the picture we've all seen on our news feeds. There they all are, the Taliban sitting around the desk, now in control of the Capitol, etc. And, you know, there's a lot of people offering political commentary on this. I don't know if I have much to add to what has, you know, has already been said. So what I would like to focus on is the prophetic significance of this, mm-hmm. because we are doing a prophecy update. And I think that what's happening right now in Afghanistan on this issue is prophetically significant.
Pastor, I'm sorry, I have to ask you about this picture.
Please.
When this first came up, I thought this was a picture of January 6th.
Yeah, that's right.
Just sorry I didn't quite see that correctly.
Yeah, that's a good point. So there is coming against the nation of Israel in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and 39, a invasion. It's prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about this for a long time. Yep. A lot of other prophecy teachers and ministers have been talking about this for a long time as well. And one of the players in this end time invasion, you'll notice there on the upper right hand corner of the map, is Magog.
Yeah.
In fact, when you look at Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 2, as Ezekiel is mentioning the various players in this end-time invasion, one of the players mentioned is Magog. Do you mind reading Ezekiel 38 and verse 2?
All right, Ezekiel 38 verse 2, again reading from the New American Standard 95 update, and here's what it says. Son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him.
So we've got specific nations mentioned, one of which is Magog. So the big question is, well, who is Magog? And when you look at the book of Genesis, chapter 10 and verse 2, you'll notice that Magog is one of the sons of Japheth, who was one of Noah's three sons.
Yes.
You know, through Noah's three sons, the earth was repopulated. In fact, you notice this chart here, this list, it says Japheth's sons, Genesis 10, verse 2. And the second son of Japheth is Magog.
Yes.
So Magog is also mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and verse 2. And I'm just kind of laying the foundation to show you why Afghanistan and what's happening now is prophetically significant. But do you mind reading Genesis 10, verse 2 to us?
Sure. Genesis 10, 2. The sons of Japheth were Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras.
So all we have to do is figure out where Japheth's second son settled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who Ezekiel is predicting will be a player,
right,
in this end time invasion. And so when we go to Josephus, who was a first century historian, in his Antiquities, he tells us who Magog is.
Yes, sir.
So what does Josephus say in his Antiquities 1.6.1? What does Josephus say there? Because Josephus in his Antiquities basically tells us where all of these descendants of Noah settled.
Yes. And here's what he says. Magog founded those that from him were named Magogites, but who are by the Greeks called Scythians.
Yeah, Scythians, you pronounce it Scythians, I guess I pronounce it Scythians, but whatever, it's same point, depends on which syllable gets the emphasis, as we like to say. But any Encyclopedia Britannica will tell you around the 8th to the 7th century B.C., just around the time of Ezekiel, a little before, that the Scythians moved from Central Asia to Southern Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fairly confident that the Scythians are the nations of what we call Central Asia. In fact, here's a list here or a chart here. It says ancient names from Ezekiel 38 verses 1 through 9. And you'll notice that Magog is Central Asia, you know,
yes,
according to our understanding. So who is Central Asia? Going back to our map, you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner that Central Asia would represent Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. That's who's in the news right now.
Yeah.
Along with all the other stands, mm-hmm. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan, or also the Ukraine.
Yeah.
So that's who Magog is. So when you see the Taliban because of a sloppy American pullout, gain ascendancy in Afghanistan, Taliban being an Israel hater, Islamic. Mm-hmm. Is that not stage setting for this end time invasion?
Sure seems like it to me.
And this is how you can see things happening in the news and ascertain why not, you know, most places are going to give you a lot of political commentary, but not a lot of people are going to give you prophetic commentary.
Right.
And this is why we think it's prophetically significant. What is happening right now with the Biden administration? I can't help but make this comparison, Brother Jim. It reminds me so much of what happened under Jimmy Carter.
Mm. Yes,
you know,
it does.
First of all, inflation.
Yep.
We had inflation under the Carter years, and we have inflation happening now. Secondly, the removal of energy independence that mm-hmm. was happening in the Carter years.
Right.
And Biden, because he nixed the pipeline, I forgot the first part of that pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline,
yeah,
I guess it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Now our energy independence is gone.
Yeah.
And then also under Jimmy Carter, you saw Persia moving from an ally to Israel and an ally to the United States mm-hmm. to becoming Islamicized and hostile to the United States.
Exactly.
And hostile to the nation of Israel. That's exactly what's happening right now in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the significance of the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan in light of the very hasty, sloppy, poorly planned, poor foresight American withdrawal of from Afghanistan.
It's history repeating itself.
History is...
And Biden and stunned.
Yes. And, you know, what did Yogi Berra say? It's deja vu. You know, all over again.
All over again. Yeah.
Now, what's so interesting about this, Brother Jim, is you look back at our map here. We've got this battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, 1 through 17. Had that up earlier. You'll notice that Russia, who is Rosh, is also involved in this coalition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, therefore, maybe we ought to see some cahoots or conspiracy developing between Rosh and Magog.
Yes,
Rosh and Afghanistan, Russia and Afghanistan. More on that in a second. And another player involved is China.
Yes.
I think China is mentioned, well, the name isn't mentioned in the Bible, but I think China is alluded to in the book of Revelation in the sixth trumpet judgment, and also in the book of Revelation in the sixth bowl judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It's the vast horde called the Kings of the East.
Kings of the East, right. Mm-hmm.
This army of 200 million, which is going to essentially, according to prophecy, move from the Far East across the Euphrates River, which is that geographical marker delineating the Far East from the Middle East,
yeah,
into northern Israel for the final battle of Armageddon. And the book of Revelation talks about as this giant horde is moving,
mm-hmm,
not only do they kill a third of the world's population, but the Euphrates River itself is supernaturally dried up to expedite the path.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see that prediction, Revelation 9, 14 through 16. Do you mind reading that?
Yeah, and what's fascinating about this is that at no time in history up to this point would they have been able to put forward a 200 million man army. Isn't that fascinating?
And I think when John wrote this at the end of the first century, there weren't even 200 million people on the planet.
Yeah, probably not.
Let alone an army of 200 million coming from this area in the east. But what does that
all
say?
All right, Revelation chapter 9, verses 14 through 16. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released, so that they would kill a third of mankind. The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them.
And then it seems to me that the process continues in Revelation 16, verse 12. What does that say?
All right, Revelation 16, 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east.
Now, people say, well, you guys think that's China. You have no biblical basis for that. Well, we do have a biblical basis for it. It's an army to the east capable of, you know, bringing forward an army, as you said earlier, of 200 million.
Right.
And John, just to show you that we're not crazy in associating the king of the east with China, John Walvoord, who was no lightweight.
Right.
I mean, he was considered the dean of prophecy students.
Yes.
In his Revelation commentary, when he's commenting on these verses, identifies China by name.
He sure does.
So what is that? What does Walvoord say in his Revelation commentary on this?
And this is back from 1966,
that's right,
folks.
Amazing.
Here's what he says. If considered a literal enumeration of the army, it would represent the largest armed force ever known to man. Considering the millions of people in the Orient, the literal interpretation is not impossible, especially in view of the population explosion. The passage is best understood as referring to the kings of the east, literally, of the sun rising, referring to oriental rulers who will descend upon the Middle East in connection with the final world conflict described a few verses later. The reasons seem to be weak for taking this prediction in other than its literal meaning. The rising power of parts of the Orient in our day in countries such as Japan, China, India, as well as lesser nations, makes such an invasion a reasonable prediction.
Yeah, I like how he's careful here. He says there could be other nations involved in this kings of the east, Japan and India, but he mentioned China by name. So we're not crazies for thinking that China, you know, isn't somehow or is somehow alluded to,
That's right.
In these passages. So I want people to understand before we get to another article, which is going to tie together what we've said, I want people to understand what we've just articulated. We've articulated a prophetic coalition between Magog, which would include Afghanistan, and Rosh or Russia, that's Ezekiel chapter 38, and then throw into the mix China,
right,
which is predicted in Revelation 9 and Revelation 16. In fact, look at this map here. This is fascinating. This is a map of Afghanistan. You see it in blue. And you see how Afghanistan is adjacent to China?
It's right there.
And actually part, if you look at that red circle, part of Afghanistan's territory goes right up to the border of China.
It sure does.
So, you know, when the Bible predicts a coalition between Afghanistan and China, I mean, it fits the map, you know, perfectly.
This is a great map.
As far as I can tell.
Yeah.
So with all of that being said, notice this fascinating article from Forbes, Robert Hart, August 16th, 2021, just a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And this is what it says. China and Russia, didn't we just get finished talking about them, court the Taliban as Western powers scramble to flee Afghanistan. So the West is pulling out of Afghanistan, but China and Russia are courting the Taliban in Afghanistan. And I hope people see the coalition forming that the Bible predicts. Am I missing something?
This is just prophecy unfolding right before us.
Yeah, and why don't you go ahead and read that article or the paragraph from it.
Here it is. As Western nations ramp up efforts to shutter embassies and evacuate civilians from Afghanistan following the fall of Kabul to the Taliban, China, and Russia, there they are right there, they made overtures Monday that suggest that could be among the first countries to recognize the group as leaders of the country. The Taliban declared the war in Afghanistan over after it retook the capital, Kabul, with little resistance on Sunday. The swifter-than-expected takeover sparked a scrambling exodus of diplomatic staff, foreign nationals, and, in some instances, local Afghan staff. The Taliban's takeover follows the withdrawal of American troops after two decades of conflict. As the troops were withdrawing, Taliban delegates visited officials in Moscow and Beijing to provide assurances the group's gains in Afghanistan would not threaten Russia or Chinese interests. Look at that. Russian, Chinese, Beijing, Moscow, mm-hmm. Taliban.
It's all there.
Like it's right off the pages of the Bible almost.
Yeah. So let's kind of tie a few threads together. Jimmy Carter, 1979, Persia or Iran becomes hostile to Israel.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Ezekiel 38 says. Mm-hmm. Flash forward to 2021 and the U.S. sloppily and hastily pulls out of Afghanistan and the Taliban assumes authority or control in Afghanistan. Well, that's Magog fitting into place.
Yep.
And then you read this article from Forbes indicating that the Taliban and China and Russia are in bed together. Well, that's Rosh joining with Magog.
Yeah.
And also the kings of the East.
Wow.
So the identical coalition that the Bible predicts, I don't know what to say, Brother Jim. It's forming, you know, right before our very eyes.
Just hold that map back up, right?
Yes.
Boy.
Now, we're going to be developing a podcast. Did you know that, Brother Jim? You didn't know that?
Yes, I must have known that. I'm sure you told me.
A podcast is imminent. And I realize that when we put maps up and charts up, that's sort of a disadvantage to our audio listeners.
Yes.
What other kind of listener could there be other than an audio listener? So if you're listening via podcast, we would highly encourage you also to supplement your learning.
Yes.
Through our YouTube channel, you know, where you can actually see these graphics go up. And what does the book of Zechariah predict, Brother Jim, in Zechariah chapter 12? Verse 3.
All right. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. Here's what it says. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it.
And the cross reference or a parallel passage, I guess I should say, is Zechariah 14, verse 2.
All right, Zechariah 14, 2. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city.
So the prophet Zechariah, by the way, Brother Jim, September 8th, 2021, we're reconvening our Wednesday night Bible study, and we're going to be teaching through the book of Zechariah, verse by verse. And so these are some of the verses that we'll be encountering in our series. But you notice that Zechariah twice predicts, and it says all nations.
That's what it says.
I mean, all of Israel's neighbors
would
come against her. Mm-hmm. So when the Western influence is removed from Afghanistan and the Taliban assumes control in that area of the world, is this subtracting from the potential fulfillment of this prophecy or adding to it?
I think it's making it clearer.
I mean, it's obviously adding to it because you're bringing terrorism and an Islamic ideology through military means into that part of the world. And that's exactly what Zechariah predicted twice would happen, which puts Israel now in a position where she has to reach out to the Antichrist to guarantee her survival.
This is fascinating.
And that's predicted in Daniel 9, verse 27. What does that say?
Daniel 9, 27. And he, that's the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate.
So he, as you said, the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with the many. The many is Israel, and you'll see that in Daniel 11, verse 33.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to start the seven-year tribulation period. In fact, we have a graphic on this. Podcast folks will want to go to our YouTube channel to see this graphic, but it says Daniel 9:27, an overview of the tribulation. And what starts the tribulation is a covenant between the Antichrist and unbelieving Israel. So why would Israel enter into a covenant with the Antichrist when...
Well, throw our map back up.
When she has help from the West in her own neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no incentive to enter into a deal with the devil. By the way, that treaty with the Antichrist is a deal with the devil.
Yes.
And you find that in Isaiah 28. Verse 15 and verse 18. What does that say?
Isaiah 28, verses 15 and 18. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Your covenant with death will be canceled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you become its trampling place.
So when Israel enters into this peace treaty, it's called a peace treaty or a treaty with Sheol.
Yeah.
And what would give Israel an incentive to enter into something like that other than whatever forces that were, I don't know, in her favor living in her neighborhood have now turned against her?
Yeah.
So anyway, you slice this, Brother Jim, the American pullout from Afghanistan and the ascendancy of the Taliban in Afghanistan, I am convinced is prophetically significant.
Sort of kicked the can down the road a little further, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And we don't know how clear the prophetic picture is going to get from this point on. Maybe it'll get even more clearer next week or next month or next year. But this is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
I mean, this is as significant. I remember when I was, gosh, I must have been about 12 or 13 years old. I don't even think I was saved at the time. But I remember as a little kid watching Iran watch the Shah being toppled and replaced by the Ayatollah. And everything that went into that event, and at the bottom of my soul, I knew this was a big deal. I maybe couldn't have explained it all. I probably at that time couldn't have pointed to the biblical passages as to why this is such a big deal. But I knew it was a big deal.
Sure.
And I feel that same conviction right now.
Right.
What's happening right now in Afghanistan is huge. Not just from the political angle. That's most people are covering this from the political angle, which is well and good. But this is prophetically significant, which is happening.
Yeah.
And we've tried to basically explain why. Would you add anything to that?
The only thing that I will add to that is that those of us that are old enough to have lived through the Carter years and experienced what you're talking about, we have a perspective on what we're seeing today that the younger generation has no clue about.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing that we can bring to bear here and say, well, we're seeing, you know, we're seeing the prophetic stage setting just continuing to increase more and more over time.
And, you know, Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9, says there's nothing new, absolutely nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
So that's our first subject here. Let's move to subject two. This one is painful for me to talk about because I always thought that the people that believed in FEMA camps and isolation facilities were the wackos, conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brother Jim, it turns out that they were absolutely right.
We have to apologize.
There are isolation facilities being built in the United States, and it's happening under the guise of COVID.
Yeah.
But this is where they're going to take malcontents or political dissidents or critics, and they're branding a whole bunch of people to be extremists. And here is something called potential terror threats. You look down at the bottom right, and this was on MSNBC.
Yeah, surprise.
And you'll notice the signature on the left. This comes from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Mm.
So anything that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security wants to promote, MSNBC, you know, is kind of like a useful idiot for them.
Yeah.
And you'll notice what this says. I mean, this flashed on television screens. It says potential terror threats. Now, of course, when I think of a terror threat, I'm thinking of 9/11 or something like that. But
sure,
they say here are the terror threats. Where are they coming from? Number one, opposition to COVID measures.
Hmm.
Oh, my goodness. He just described yours truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, claims of election fraud. Well, he just described yours truly as well.
And sidekick.
Or the belief that Trump can be reinstated. I guess I'm okay there because I've never really thought Trump is going to be reinstated unless he runs again. I could be wrong about that. But this is, you know, hitting close to home.
Yeah.
And then it's linking people that believe in opposition to COVID measures and claims of election fraud. In other words, the election was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
The election was hacked.
Right.
The Dominion voting machines were dubious, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's linking people with those beliefs to people that look at September 11th as an anniversary and a religious holiday, which would be Muslim extremists.
Hmm.
Might we say consistent Muslims. And so you'll notice what this is designed to do. It's designed to equate belief in the election of 2020 was stolen, and the belief that the government has overstepped its reach and its proper boundaries with COVID measures. I mean, you're just as radical as the people that brought down the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Isn't that what this communicates?
Yeah, they just put a big equal sign right after the first two. So
yes.
The first two is equivalent to the last one.
Yeah.
Woo!
And
wow.
It says here, breaking news. It's got all the official insignias on it. Mm. National terrorism alert ahead of the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Wow.
And so they're branding a whole section of the population as extremists. Now, what do you do with extremists? Well, don't you have to incarcerate them somewhere?
Got to do something with them.
And so here comes an executive order from the state of Tennessee, from the office of the governor. I thought this guy was a Republican. I thought Tennessee was a red state. I thought it was a conservative state. And he comes up with this executive order.
Oh, boy.
We have an article about this. It says, this comes from Todd Starnes. And it's dated August 8th, 2021. It says, order authorizes National Guard quarantines and involuntary commitment for certain healthcare operations. So COVID is sort of going to be used as the pretext to, you know, incarcerate these dissidents mm-hmm. and these extremists.
Yes.
So we're being targeted for persecution here.
Yes.
And so what does Todd Starnes say in this particular article? And if you want to add something, please do.
All I'm going to add, folks, is Davy Crockett is going to be spinning in his grave after this.
That's right.
Because he's from Tennessee.
That's right.
There is growing concern among Tennesseans after Governor Bill Lee quietly issued an executive order on Friday giving the state permission to call up the National Guard and State Guard in connection with certain health care and emergency services operations. Tennessee stands, an influential statewide conservative coalition, said they found some of the governor's orders exceptionally concerning. One section of Executive Order 83 would permit the construction of temporary quarantine and isolation facilities. Telephone assessments for involuntary commitment cases are permitted, the executive order also states. Tennesseans took to social media to express their grave concerns about the governor's response to the China virus. Wow, the Guard will be utilized. Involuntary commitment and construction of quarantine and isolation facilities? though all of this was just a silly conspiracy, or thought all of this was just a silly conspiracy theory, one concerned citizen noted. The pieces add up to a very scary picture. People need to wake up, one concerned citizen wrote. I would like to know the specific scenarios and situations that would need to take place in order for these actions to be implemented. They're too open-ended and vague, which leads to open-door interpretation and neglected use, which would not work in our best interests. We need to demand specificity.
Yeah. Now, as this executive order is being rolled back, and I hope the legislature in Tennessee does something to roll this back, because this is insane.
Yes.
As this was being rolled out, you have commentary from the Tennessee stands. And what it says here, this is actually a Facebook post from the Tennessee stands, and it says, Governor Bill Lee quietly issued a new executive order yesterday on August 6th with little fanfare. Here are a few things that in the executive order that we find exceptionally concerning. And it lists several things.
Yes.
And can you educate us about what the Tennessee stands is concerned about?
You want me to read all of these?
Please.
Okay. Number 5 on the list, behavioral health inpatient psychiatric residential and crisis care staffing flexibility is permitted pursuant to an approved plan to relieve the capacity strain on certain staffing functions. Number 7. Healthcare student staffing flexibility is permitted in inpatient, psychiatric, and behavioral health settings pursuant to an approved plan to relieve the capacity strain on certain staffing functions. Number 8. Discretion to utilize National Guard and State Guard members in connection with certain healthcare and emergency services operations. Number 14, telephone assessments for involuntary commitment cases are permitted. Number 16, medical laboratory directors can monitor facilities remotely. 18, temporary quarantine and isolation facilities may be constructed.
Now, that one right there, I'll stop you just for a minute. Mm-hmm. That's language from the executive order.
Yeah.
This is not a conspiracy theory.
No.
This is what the executive order says.
That's exactly
and
right.
Please pick it up with 19.
Number 19, inspection of mental health and substance abuse facilities and services are suspended. Number 20, healthcare licensing inspections and investigations are suspended to increase resources available to fight COVID-19 and to protect public health. And number 21, inspections of healthcare facilities are suspended.
Yeah.
Now, that's a little scary.
It's interesting that when you look at this article here by the New American, R. Court Kirkwood, August the 5th, 2021, the title of it is the CDC, we know who they are,
yeah.
Center for Disease Control, discusses confinement intern camps for those at high risk of the China virus. I don't know if it's necessary that we read through, you know, this entire article, but you see the same pattern where this idea of intern camps, isolation facilities. I mean, it's not even something hidden. It's in executive orders. It's something that the CDC, you know, is openly discussing.
This is very troubling.
Yeah.
Because they're saying here that all they have to do is someone, the grand poobah behind the curtain is going to make an assessment that so-and-so is a high-risk individual, and so they're going to be put in confinement or an internment camp.
Yeah.
That's frightening.
And, of course, high risk, what does that mean exactly?
Who defines that?
Who defines that? It's very subjective. Mm. And you'll notice this screenshot. It's called Internment Resettlement Specialist.
Oh, boy. The
United States Army recruiting people.
So this is a new classification for a soldier, right?
New classification for a soldier recruiting people to participate.
Wow.
You know, in this... these isolation facilities. Ooh. You know, the military itself is being turned on American citizens. It says urgently hiring.
Yes.
It mentions the full job description here.
Yeah.
It mentions the salary range, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not conspiracy theory talk at all. These are things actually happening.
Can I read this?
Please,
can I just
yeah,
read it?
Go for it.
Listen, folks, to the full job description here. You have joined the U.S. Army for this job. Internment resettlement specialists are primarily responsible for day-to-day operations in a military confinement correctional facility or detention internment facility.
What does that say to you?
That's frightening.
Yeah, it is frightening. And this is where they're going to put people who are high risk in terms of COVID. They couldn't do all this without COVID.
No, they
can't.
And
what bothers me more than that is the what we showed at the beginning, the insignia or the advertisement from
yeah.
the United States Department of Homeland Security, where it's labeling people that are anti-COVID measures and are upset about election fraud. These are the extremists. And once they get you labeled as an extremist, I mean, you could easily find yourself in one of these facilities, mix that in with being a high COVID risk, and suddenly the deep state, you know, has taken away your constitutional rights.
Wow.
And
wow.
You know, of all the topics to talk about, I'd rather talk about anything than this.
Oh my.
But it's hard to ignore, you know, the proverbial handwriting on the wall.
The elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room. Yeah. Anything you want to add to that before we move on?
No,
here?
Let's move on.
Yeah, well, the next thing, number three here, is the virtue signalers.
Mm-hmm.
They are out in force, Brother Jim.
Yes.
Who are the virtue signalers? Those are the high-profile people telling us to cooperate with
the beautiful people.
The beautiful people telling us to cooperate with this big government agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Not the least of which is the former governor of California, the governator, as he's called, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And Batman.
and Batman. And here he appeared.
Oh, he's Mr. Freeze.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mr. Freeze. Here he appeared on what was this? Looks like a Zoom call. He puts on his Twitter feed, yesterday I was talking with, and he mentions a couple people about someone's new book. I was asked about my comment about COVID misinformation that all of you are sharing. Here is my answer. And we have this captured in an article from the Western Journal by Elizabeth Stauffer. August the 12th, 2021, the title of it, His Dad Was a Nazi. After Schwarzenegger says, quote,
gosh.
And it's not my language, folks, I'm just quoting him, his quote against people like us that are sort of suspicious of masks, his quote was, screw your freedom. And then conservatives remind him about his past.
Okay.
Tell us about that article.
All right, folks, I'm going to be substituting the words the jab or something similar to that for the V word. So listen for that. Former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger became the latest celebrity to denigrate Americans who are tired of being told how to live by the elites. His message to Americans who are fed up with the jab demands mask requirements and other coronavirus restrictions. Screw your freedom, the erstwhile actor and bodybuilder joined CNN senior global affairs analyst Brianna Golodriga and the rapidly partisan star of the first impeachment proceeding against the then President Donald Trump. Retired.
Sounds like a nice neutral panel.
Yes, there. Yes. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman on Wednesday. Naturally, he compared Adolf Hitler's regime to the Trump administration and expressed his great relief that Trump was defeated and democracy prevailed. From there, it was a mere hop, skip, and a jump to the conservative backlash over the Biden administration's latest round of the jab mandates and mask requirements. There is a virus here. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get the jab, to wear masks, do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about it. Well, my freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No, screw your freedom, Schwarzenegger said, because with freedom comes obligations and responsibilities. We cannot just say, I have the right to do X, Y, and Z. When you affect other people, that is when it gets serious. He equated the refusal to wear a mask to running a red light. It could get somebody killed, he said. Yeah, you have the freedom to wear no mask, but you know something. You're a smuck for not wearing a mask because you're supposed to protect your fellow members around you. It's just that simple. Referring to experts such as Dr. Fauci, he asked, why would you not believe someone like that? What makes Schwarzenegger's comments even more egregious is that his father was a member of the Nazi Party and was pointed out, as was pointed out by Human Events editor Jack Posolbeck and other conservatives.
So you have this famous quote, screw your freedom.
Yeah.
You have him making this apples and oranges comparison of not wearing a mask. That's just like running a red light.
It's just like running a red light.
I mean, what if you go out and run a red light, what's the percentage you're going to hurt someone or kill someone? Very, very high. If you don't wear a mask, what's the percentage you're going to hurt someone or kill someone? Minuscule, less than, what, 0.001% of the time, or maybe even lower. So it's an apples and oranges comparison. And if you don't have your mask on, you're a schmuck. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Jim. Isn't that an anti-Semitic term?
I think it might be.
Isn't that a term aimed at Jewish people?
You're
a schmuck. So. Mm-hmm. And it stands to reason that he would aim a comment at Jewish people and denigrate them that way. Because after all, notice this screenshot here. Arnold Schwarzenegger says, screw your freedom. And it turns out his dad was a Nazi too, it says. And there's a picture of his father in Nazi uniform. And so it kind of stands to reason that Arnold would say the things that he says. But he's in the movies, so he must be right.
Perhaps the apple doesn't far fall from the
That's
tree.
That's exactly right. And I want people to understand something. This guy's a Republican.
Yeah, he says he is.
He says he is. I mean, he was the Republican governor of California, and that's just to show you, and I'm a registered Republican, but a lot of the Republicans can outdo the Democrats in terms of big government liberalism.
That's true.
And that's what you see happening here. But this is classic virtue signaling.
Yes, sir.
And virtue signaling is you get the beautiful people, people with influence, to advocate a particular view, and it becomes the right thing to do. It becomes the so-called moral thing to do.
Because they're the experts.
Because they're the experts.
Right.
And I don't know what.
Speaking of experts.
I don't know what being a bodybuilder, what kind of expertise that gives you in virology.
Yeah,
and,
I'm not sure.
And those
either.
Kind of subjects. And I know your heart is breaking, Brother Jim.
Yes,
because
yes.
Another one of our virtue signalers, Jennifer
yes.
Aniston, defends cutting ties with unjabbed friends.
Yes.
We have this article from Reuters. Dated August 6, 2021. I'm not sure we have to read the whole thing. But, you know, I know you stay up late and you're very, very worried that, oh my goodness, Jennifer Aniston is no longer one of my friends on social media because you happen to have the wrong view on masks and the jab. And here's the one that really hits. Here's the one that really hits home. See, you've got political leaders, you've got leaders in entertainment. Well, we've got to have religious virtue signalers as well.
Have the Trinity.
And the Trinity. And here is Rick Warren.
Woohoo!
Rick Warren recently came out with his newsletter. The title of the newsletter is News and Views from Pastor Rick Warren, the latest Thursday, August the 5th, 2021. And what does Pastor Rick tell us to do?
All right. Dear Saddleback family, I may have been exposed to the virus after hugging hundreds of people this past weekend who were not wearing masks.
Can I just stop you there for a minute? If he is this conscious about COVID, why is he out hugging hundreds of people? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Inquiring minds want to know.
I mean, I pastor a church that's minuscule compared to his. My views on the mask are obviously the opposite of his. And I don't even go around hugging everybody.
No.
Not that anybody in this church really wants a hug from me anyway. But anyway, go ahead. My wife does. Go ahead.
Anyway, 40% of our neighbors have still not been jabbed. The most important things you and your family can do to shorten this pandemic and keep everyone safe is to get jabbed and wear a mask. Denying reality will not make it go away. So please, jab and mask, jab and mask, jab and mask, jab and mask. Right now, it's the loving thing to do. Think of others and love your neighbor as yourself. The great commandment.
So notice that he uses a Bible verse.
That makes it all right.
To support this position right. that he has. I will say, Brother Jim, that there's been a number of well-known pastors that have used Philippians 2. You know, you're supposed to consider others as important or more important, you know, than yourself to support this kind of view.
Yes.
Big name pastors, if I started calling out their names, people would recognize immediately who I was talking about. Rick Warren is using the great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is basically classic virtue signaling.
Yeah.
I mean, if I resist the mask and the jab, I guess I'm not following Jesus.
You're not loving.
I'm not loving. The truth of the matter, though, folks, is anybody can quote the Bible. Satan himself quotes the Bible.
That's right.
We actually have an example of it in Luke 4, verses 9 through 12. What does that say?
Luke 4, 9 through 12. And he, this is Satan, and he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
So Satan tempts Jesus. Jesus answers with scriptural citations, mostly from the book of Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan says, well, I too can play that game. Let me quote some Bible. And
yeah.
He quotes Psalm 91. Which
yep.
is verses 11 and 12, which is a wonderful verse or series of verses, couple of verses about how God protects us.
Yes.
But he twists it to make it sound as if you're supposed to intentionally, I don't know, lay down on the freeway and test God to see if he's
give God an opportunity to prove himself, right?
And Jesus responds correctly with Scripture,
yes.
Don't put the Lord your God to the test.
Amen.
But my point is, when Rick Warren and all of these people are quoting the Bible to support jab and mask, they're using the Bible, but they're twisting it. They're distorting it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a pastor, let me tell you what I think is the right understanding of the Bible on this issue.
Okay.
It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. See, if you want to if you want to quote the Bible to promote your jab mask philosophy, I want to quote the Bible too.
Okay.
And so what does 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 say?
1 Corinthians 6 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?
So here's what your Bible says, Christian. What your Bible says is your very body is the residence of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes the exhortation to take care of your body.
Right.
Now, how can that verse be harmonized with the mindset that I'm going to ingest into my body an experimental substance that's coming at us through Operation Warp Speed so fast that we don't have enough time to determine what side effects are going to show up?
Good point.
When the reality of the situation is, if you get COVID, you have a 99.9999999% chance of recovery. So if that's true, how could ingesting an experimental substance, I don't even call this a vaccine, it's experimental, into your body when the side effects are undetermined and unascertained, because it takes time for side effects to show up.
Right.
When you're doing things Operation Warp Speed, you don't have time to see side effects show up.
Right.
How does ingesting that into your body, because the government tells you to do it, how are you being a good steward of your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I mean, how come Rick Warren and Pastor Robert Jeffress, you know, who also is very pro-jab, using Philippians chapter 2, how come they never quote 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19?
Good point.
So all these guys want to quote Bible verses on this subject. I just gave you my interpretation of the Bible.
I like it.
Bible on this subject.
I like it.
And, you know, I'm going out on a limb here, Brother Jim, but what would you add? You go out on a limb with me. What else? what would you say?
I brought the saw, right? And we'll saw the limb off, right? No, I agree with what you're saying here. And I know we're going to address this here in a minute to some degree, but, you know, we've been saying all along this is experimental.
Yeah.
And so that concerns me.
Yes.
And now we're beginning to see, you know, they're beginning to come back and say, well, you know, you got that jab.
Yeah.
You got that second jab. We got another one for you now.
Yeah. Well, our own,
when's it going to end?
Our own governor here in the state of Texas just got COVID, and everybody is saying, aha, he got COVID. Well, he
guess
had
what?
The jab earlier.
Guess what? That's
he
right.
had the jab. So
he sure did.
The jab certainly didn't help him.
Not a bit.
And now they're talking about this Delta variant.
Yeah.
And so the original jab you got is not enough. So that's another experimental substance ingested or inserted into my body. And you've got all of these virtue signalers, whether it's Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, screw your freedom, or Jennifer Aniston unfriending you on social media, or Rick Warren saying this is a Christian thing to do, telling people that this is great. And I'm of the opinion that it's not great.
I agree.
And I think we need to be very circumspect and discerning concerning what is actually going on here.
Amen.
All right. Let's move on
That's
to number
preaching.
Four here. The death of the Constitution. Because the Constitution, isn't it supposed to protect us from all this stuff?
I believe that was the design.
That was the design. Notice this article from the spectator.org. It's by Ben Stein.
Yeah.
And the title of it is Goodbye, America. We no longer have a Constitution.
Yeah.
Dated July 18th, 2021. What's that all about?
July 2021, a month that will live in infamy, if there is such a thing as history in the Biden, Orwell, Soros, omni-dictatorship, July 2021 will mark the month that the Constitution, the greatest work ever thrown off by the hand and mind of man, as Gladstone put it, was thrown into the Ministry of Truth Memory Hall. It was put into the history erase well, a bottomless pit in this month, actually starting with the month before, that the superpowers of the tech world, Google, YouTube, Amazon, Twitter, Facebook, and Yahoo, admitted to working with the Biden NKV administration to suppress free speech. For months now, we had known that the tech powers were watching us and suppressing any dissident speech against the current administration. I have seen it up close and personal, but what was argued was that the First Amendment to the Constitution protected us only against Congress and the executive branch suppressing free speech. It did not protect us from private enterprises, even very large private enterprises like Amazon or Google or Facebook, keeping tabs on citizens and shutting them out of the internet sphere if they expressed views contradicting the views and policies of the Biden-Harris Big Tech Party.
Okay, let me just stop you right there just for the sake of time. I mean, basically the point is the tech tyrants, whether it's Facebook, Google, Apple, Twitter, da-da-da-da-da, Yahoo, are censoring a narrative. The narrative that they're censoring is any narrative that contradicts the narrative that the government currently is trying to push and trying to promote. Now, they call it disinformation.
Right. It's
the
magic
word. But when
you
see the word disinformation, just scribble it out and write in the word censorship.
Yes.
Because that's what it is. They're censoring a viewpoint.
Yeah.
And people would say, well, that violates the First Amendment. And the answer always was, no, it doesn't, because of what lawyers call state action. There was no proven state action. In other words, the First Amendment is not a restraint. For example, if you get thrown out of a restaurant, you can't claim a First Amendment violation because the First Amendment is a restraint on the state or the government, mm-hmm. but not on a private business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ben Stein is saying, well, now the Biden administration came out and said, oh, by the way, the tech tyrants are working with us to censor a viewpoint. Well, now you all of a sudden you have state action. And that's why he is calling this month in which this information became public a month that will live in infamy. And he's basically saying that the Constitution, the moment they said that, died.
Yeah.
Because the First Amendment is not protecting people the way it should.
Right.
The First Amendment needs to be invoked here. It should be invoked.
Yes.
Because the state is in bed with the tech tyrants, we would call this corporate fascism, to neuter or to censor any narrative that goes against the politically correct narrative that the government is trying to promote. And that's Ben Stein's point.
Yes.
And our Constitution, really, Brother Jim, is on the chopping block.
Yes, sir.
And it's compounded by the fact that we have this Baylor professor.
Before you go there, can I read this very last statement?
Yeah, I'm sorry, please.
Let me read how this article ends. It says,
yes.
When the Constitutional Congress ended in the late 18th century, as Ben Franklin was walking out, an onlooker said, "What do we have, sir, a republic or a monarchy?" And Franklin answered, "A republic, if you can keep it."
Mm-hmm.
God help us.
God help us. What a great way to end.
Now to Baylor.
Where did you graduate from college, by the way?
I graduated from Houston Baptist University. Right. However, I did attend Baylor for 1 year.
Yeah. Now, you have family that went to Baylor, didn't
I
you?
I have, yes. They will remain nameless.
Yeah. You had some daughters, or a daughter.
Throw them under the bus, Patrick. Just throw them right under the bus.
Well, no one knows who it is at this point, but he had a daughter that was a Baylor cheerleader.
I did indeed.
Yeah. So yes. Baylor is kind of near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
To some extent.
You're setting me up, Pastor.
Well, I'm not trying to set you up. I'm just trying to show you how neutral we are. I mean, we're not anti-Baylor.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, here's this article from Breitbart where a Baylor professor urges criticisms of Fauci and other scientists be prosecuted as a hate crime. In other words, if you are developing a narrative concerning the jab and the mask that's different than what the Biden administration wants to promote, according to this Baylor professor, you're involved in a crime. I mean, that's what he's advocating.
Yeah. Here.
And this article is by Dr. Susan Berry, August the 4th, 2021. Why don't you just slip here to the very last paragraph and read what he says there?
All right, quoting, "Still another possibility is to extend federal hate crime protections," he advises, and then continues with what appears to be a recommendation for a blackout of views opposing his own. Quoting, "We must take steps to protect our scientists and take swift and positive action to counter the growing wave of far-right anti-science aggression," Hotez urges.
So you notice that if you have a viewpoint that contradicts the government
narrative,
the government-approved narrative,
I was trying to say,
not only should you be prosecuted for a hate crime, which could end you in jail, maybe an isolation facility for all I know, but you are anti-science.
Yes.
Now, when they say anti-science, I want people to understand what that means. Anti-science means going against their philosophy.
Right.
So if you challenge global warming, you're anti-science. If you challenge the idea that we went from the goo to you by way of the zoo
yep.
over billions of years, then you also are anti-science.
Yes.
And now they're extending this to anybody that wants to challenge the jab mask mandate
yep.
As imposed by the Biden administration. You suddenly become anti-science. And this is why I appreciate the good old King James Version. And what is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 say?
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 in the King James Version. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called.
Science, falsely so called. There it is, mm-hmm. folks. It's right there in your Bible.
Yes.
There are people that are promoting philosophies under the name of science, and yet it has nothing to do with science.
Right.
What is science? I mean, I was not the greatest science student, but I at least know this much. Science, in order for something to be scientific, it has to be observable, testable, and repeatable.
Yes, sir.
When you're telling me how life emerged billions of years ago when man finally climbed out of the primordial soup, that's not observable.
No, sir.
Nor is it testable, nor is it repeatable. And it's the same with evolution, global warming, so-called climate change.
Yep.
And it's going to be proven true with these jab and mask mandates.
Right.
I mean, this isn't science at all.
Yep.
This is a philosophy being imposed on the American people. And
experimentation.
So, yes, experimentation. And if you oppose it, prosecute them for hate crimes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even publish your beliefs that contradict the government narrative without running the risk of, you know, being accused of a crime. I mean, and the Constitution is dead and it's not going to protect you. And there's isolation facilities set up. I mean, what am I missing, Brother Jim? Is this the land of the free and the home of the brave, or what? What has happened to us?
Well, I tell you what I think's happened to us.
Please.
In part, is I think that we're so far removed as a society from World War II, mm-hmm. And what went on during that time frame when we had Hitler in power doing the very same kinds of things, mm-hmm. and then shortly thereafter we had the rise of the communist powers over there, mm-hmm. in Russia and China doing the same kind of things. But see, we're removed from mm-hmm. that. And so people are not as mm-hmm. cognizant or aware or up to date with their history.
So those that don't know history are condemned to repeat it.
Which is a very famous saying.
And do they teach history in the schools?
Revisionist history.
Revisionist history. So most people aren't even aware
of
what you just said.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, for the sake of time, let's go here to number five, a nice transition, the education invasion.
Look at that. Just like we intended that to happen.
And, of course, you have to watch very carefully what's happening in education, because what's happening in education in one generation
yes.
determines the philosophy of government in the next generation. In fact, Abraham Lincoln mm-hmm. said as much.
Yes, sir.
Remind us of that Lincoln quote.
The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next.
So, with that being said, what is happening concerning education in the state of California? Notice this article here from Politico.com. The title of it is Newsom, the current governor of California. California teachers must get jabbed mm-hmm. or tested weekly.
Yeah.
And this is by Mackenzie Mays, August the 10th, 2021. What does that say?
Governor Gavin Newsom announced Wednesday that California will require all teachers and school employees to get jabbed or submit to weekly COVID-19 testing amid growing Delta variant concerns. Under the policy, school employees would have to show proof of the jab to their districts. Until now, the recalled threatened governor has stopped short of requiring teacher jabs for the upcoming academic year. The state's two major teacher unions, the California Teachers Association and the California Federation of Teachers, support the plan.
What a shock.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. CTA says that nearly 90% of its members are jabbed based on a survey in March.
So if you're a California school teacher in public school, or if you work at a public school.
If you're just an employee.
Or an employee, jabbed and or masked or and or tested regularly, which is kind of a dehumanizing process when they take that Q-tip and jam it up into your brain.
Yeah.
Get that done or your job's gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, what happened to the liberal line? Brother Jim, my body, my choice.
Gee.
I mean, haven't we heard that from time immemorial concerning abortion?
Yeah.
They fought every single reasonable abortion restriction. My body, my choice. Well, all of a sudden the left, now that they get the reins of power, they don't care about your body and they don't care about your choice on this issue.
That's right.
Particularly. So up is down and down is up and left is right and right is left and black is white and white is black and on, north is south and south is north and on we could go. By the way, we're recording this August 20th. On September the 14th, just a few weeks down the road, the state of California has a golden opportunity in the golden state to do something about this. Because the, I don't know how many signatures were required. I want to say around 2 million, probably
like
more.
That. Mm-hmm.
That requirement has been met to put Governor Newsom, who is imposing these restrictions, on up for a recall vote.
Yes, sir.
And they could, the citizens of California have the ability, if they don't like the direction that this is going in, to go to that recall vote, which is your right as a voter in California, and when it says, do you want to recall Governor Gavin Newsom, I think the proper answer, I'm not going to tell them how to vote. It's going to be yes or no, okay? And let's hypothetically say that there is one more yes than there is a no. Let's say there's 10,000 votes cast, and there's one more yes than no. Then what happens, Brother Jim? The governor is recalled.
Yes.
He's
one
removed.
Vote matters.
One vote matters. And as you make that vote, there's a list, I think, of about 40 candidates where if you vote yes, then you check a box for who you want to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some pretty good constitutionalists and conservatives on that list. And if candidate A gets one more vote than the others, then guess who becomes the next governor? That constitutional conservative. So in a nanosecond, the citizens of California have within their power and their grasp to reverse this complete and total insanity taking place in the state of California.
That's power.
And if you're going to sit this one out, constitutionalist and Christian and churchgoer and Bible lover, I believe this, you're going to answer for that at the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ.
I would say shame on you.
Shame on you.
Right.
And here's the deal, folks. There's got to be a massive turnout for this to work the way a lot of us might want it to work.
Yes.
Because the other side is going to cheat. You know why they're going to cheat? Because of COVID, they've got it implemented into the rules that you can print out your own ballot and turn it in. Now, what would that allow me to do, Brother Jim, if I was a cheater? I could print out 8, 9, 10 ballots. And
oh, nobody would do that, Pastor. You're such a cynic.
And we've seen a lot of this in 2020, right? So if you want a particular result in this area, there has to be a massive turnout. You've got to get your grandmother You've got to get your folks out to vote. You've got to get your neighbors out to vote. You've got to completely and totally compensate for the massive cheating that's about to happen.
Yeah.
And from a human perspective, it looks sort of, it sort of looks self-defeating, but for two words, but God.
That's right.
And I'm praying that God is going to do a great miracle.
Yes.
And he's going to move across that state, and they're going to, in the bluest of the blue states, the most populous state in the union, they're going to rise up and say no to tyranny. That's the power that they have within the next couple of weeks. Where am I going?
You're dead on. I just hope that they will take advantage of this opportunity.
Yep. September 14th is the big date. Let's do one more, Brother Jim, and we're done here. Number six, the immigration double standard. Jab, mask, jab, mask, jab, mask, jab, mask. Oh, wait a minute. What about all these people coming across our southern border? Have they been jabbed? Nope. Do they have masks on? Nope. Why is that? Well, we have an article explaining it here.
I'm so glad.
From Breitbart. This is by Charlie Spearing, August the 7th, 2021. White House refuses to endorse jab mandate for migrants released into the U.S. They want to put masks on everybody, including kindergartners, but they could care less about this army that's crossing into our southern border because our borders are unprotected. And they took Trump's wall and they disabled it.
Yep.
So tell us about that.
All right. President Joe Biden continues promoting coronavirus jab mandates for American citizens, but the White House still struggles to explain why the standard is not applied to migrants crossing the southern border. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki ignored a question Thursday asking if the administration wants to apply the same jab standards proposed for foreign visitors to migrants released in the United States. Psaki said that interagency working groups are developing a plan for international travel, but did not address migrants coming across the southern border. In McAllen, Texas, 7,000 migrants who were positive for the virus have been released into the city since February, including 1,500 people in the last 7 days. McAllen declared a state of disaster in response to the crisis, opening up funding, allowing them to tackle the crisis.
So why the double standard? Because in Marxism, there's a famous saying, the issue is never the issue.
Right.
The issue is a revolution. In other words, you use issues selectively to promote an agenda, and once that issue no longer serves your purpose, you move to the next issue. It's like all of the feminists that were against sexual harassment turning a blind eye to Bill Clinton and all of his groping and raping and sexually harassing, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, how come the feminists weren't speaking out against Cuomo, you know, of New York?
Yeah.
Because these people don't care about that issue.
No.
What they care about is using it selectively to advance the liberal, progressive, dare I say, Marxist cause.
Yeah.
And the reason they don't apply the same jab mask mandate to all of these people crossing the border illegally is because their presupposition is we're going to get all these people signed up on social programs and they're going to vote Democrat. So they have a different standard there than they do for everyone else. So they don't really care about COVID. They don't care about masks. They don't care about unjabbed people. The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. It's another example of selectively using an issue.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got 7,000 people in McAllen, Texas. How close is McAllen, Texas?
About 5 hours away.
Yeah. That 7,000 migrants who were positive for the virus have been released into the city since February. I mean, this is how you know, folks, that you are being victimized by propaganda, is because there's blatant contradictions within it. Where am I going wrong?
I'm just wondering where our borders are. Our VP, she seems to be like one of those little whack-a things in the
On vacation.
Arcade.
She's on vacation, and
Saki's on vacation. Yeah. Also,
Afghanistan is on fire. Yeah. The border is wide open, and they're on vacation.
Yeah. I'd like a whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Who's running this country exactly? I mean, I get the feeling that the deep state.
Well, I don't believe it's the people we see in front of us all the time.
No. All right, so that's our prophecy update for today, folks. Afghanistan, isolation facilities. Nobody can accuse us of not tackling tough topics.
Boy, that's so
isolation true. Facilities, virtue signaling, death of the U.S. Constitution, the education invasion, and the immigration double standard. Brother Jim, do you have any good news for us?
I do. And it comes from the Bible.
Amen.
Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. We have hope.
So our hope is in the soon return of Jesus to rescue us out of the world. And the White House and its policies can't stop that, the last time I checked. My new book is now out. There's a link to it at the bottom of this particular slide. You can get it from dispensationalpublishing.com. You can also get it from Amazon.com. It's Babylon, the Bookends of Prophetic History, basically arguing that Babylon means Babylon, and there's a literal role for Babylon to fulfill in the prophetic future. It's less than 100 pages. It's a quick read, but it's got a lot of information on it, and it presents a clear gospel at the end. So this is something you could actually give to an unsaved person.
Yes.
What else is going on, Brother Jim? A prophecy conference is coming up called The Perfect Storm, September 10th through 12th, which incidentally covers the anniversary of September 11th, doesn't it? And it's going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin at Calvary Chapel, Appleton. Just go to ccappleton.org. I mean, Jim Fletcher is going to be there. T.A. McMahon is going to be there. Pastor J.D. Farag is going to give a video message there. Thomas Ice is going to be there. Little Ol' Me is one of the speakers there. And these folks, they do a great job of not only putting on conferences, but of live streaming. Because when we announce conferences, the first thing people want to do know is they're live streaming.
Right.
You can live stream, you know, the whole thing.
Wow.
And so I wanted to make people aware of that.
But there's more.
There's more. As we mentioned, September the 8th, 2021, is the beginning of our fall quarter, so where we are reconvening midweek Wednesday night Bible study. We usually take the summer off, but that study is reconvening, and we're going to be studying the book of Zechariah.
Oh, boy.
Verse by verse.
Yay.
But that study is going to be interrupted the following Wednesday. And then the study will pick up again the subsequent Wednesday. Because on September the 15th and the 16th, Sugarland Bible Church, and this is the first time we've done this, we are hosting the Council on Dispensational Hermeneutics, which is sort of like a academic group where someone will get up and they'll give a paper, and that usually spans about a half an hour, and then they're cross-examined basically by the attendees and people that listen to the paper presented.
Kind of a think tank type of a
think tank
scenario.
Yeah, and so it's something a little bit different than what people are used to. It's got more of an academic flavor, but it's trying to defend the hermeneutics, which is interpretation of the theological system that we promote here, you know, called dispensationalism.
Yeah.
And it's my knowledge that we are going to be live streaming that.
Mm.
And so it literally goes from dawn to dusk on the 15th and the 16th. And I believe we're also going to have that archived after the fact, you know, for people to watch.
Great.
And so this is the first time we've done something like this, and I would encourage people to take advantage of that. This presentation, which is on Facebook Live, is going to be uploaded momentarily onto my YouTube channel. Just go to Andy Woods, type in Andy Woods on your YouTube search engine, and sign up for our YouTube channel. Based on some of the content that we covered today, it's highly likely that what we've presented could get edited, or we could be taken off YouTube or censored.
Possible.
So if that should happen, go to our Rumble account. Just have your settings set up to, I think it's channels, and type in Andy Woods Ministries into the search slot there, and sign up for our YouTube channel so we have it backed up should the tech tyrants, you know, censor us. You can also find us on MeWe, Twitter, Telegraph, and Parler. And as we hinted before, Brother Jim, we're moving into podcasting. I don't have all of the details for everybody yet on that. It's a work in progress, but we're moving aggressively in that direction, and so we'll have more to say about it when our particular podcast becomes available. We'll tell people where to find it, etc.
Does that make us pod people?
I guess so. And so that, and when you hear things on our podcast, and we're talking about these cool charts, you're going to say, well, I want to see that chart. And so you're going to have to augment your podcast experience with what you see on YouTube. Have I been detailed enough for everybody?
I think so.
Okay. That's all we have for today. We appreciate the groundswell of support and concern for us as we were absent the last couple of weeks. And all things being equal, and the rapture doesn't occur first, and the creek doesn't rise, as we say here
which
in Texas.
Which is a possibility.
Which is a possibility. We will see you next Friday for another Pastor's Point of View. God bless you. And thank you for watching.
God bless.
You've been listening to Pastor's Point of View with Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods' website is andywoodsministries.org. This program is distributed as a broadcast ministry of WVW Broadcast Network and worldviewradio.com. You can download our free radio and TV app at wvwtv.com/app. Please join us next week for another installment of Pastor's Point of View with Dr. Andy Woods.